Good morning. Great to see everyone here today. What a great day to worship the Lord, eh? The sun's shining. He fixed the little thing that went wrong yesterday. The sun's out again, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. And each and every one of us will be richly blessed by being here. Warm welcome to everyone. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church. It's good to have everybody here in one place, in one accord. And I hand you now over to Daniel. Thanks, Dan.
Morning. Here's your announcements for this morning. I want to thank the Sheehan family for the donation of the new banner. I don't know if you've seen it. It's right here. It's absolutely awesome. and it is in memory of Larry's father. So if you haven't had a look at it, come on up after. Well, not right now, but come up a little bit later and have a look at it. Next Sunday is Mothering Sunday, Mother's Day, family worship with communion. The Ride to Conquer Cancer, Grant's looking for your sponsorship. And if you're interested in doing that, I talked to Grant this morning. He's riding about 200 kilometers. That makes me tired thinking about it. But if you want to see Grant or Susan, you can donate by the kilometer or just a lump sum payment for that. And it is for a really good thing. So, also, not in the announcements, Yaha Tender Ride is on the calendar for July 13th to 15th, and Vicky and I usually organize that, but we're going to be away. Actually, Vicky organized it, and I just go, yeah, that's a good idea. She does all the work. But if there's anybody interested in looking at, we're going to be away pretty much all of July, so if there's anybody who would like to do that, you can see us, and we can give you an idea of some of the things that you might need to do for that. The church picnic is on the 17th, and that's Father's Day. And I'd like to, before I introduce Ruth Lewis, is there any other announcements? No? Okay, then I'd like to welcome to our church this morning. I had a chance to meet her quickly this morning. Ruth Lewis, who is the general director of the Pioneer Lodge, and if she's going to talk to you for a few minutes, and I know that afterwards during coffee time, if you want to ask some questions or introduce yourself and welcome her to our church, I'm sure she'll be around for that. So, Ruth.
Good morning. I am the director of Pioneer Lodge in Sundry, and I have a camp riddle for you. And whoever gets the closest answer... And Phil Reed doesn't qualify. Whoever gets the closest answer gets a 50% scholarship to any Pioneer camp in Alberta. So we have two camps, one in Sundry and one in Rocky. So the riddle is 1, 2, 12, everybody. And it's a camp riddle. I need some guesses out loud. Blank, okay? Okay, this person has the closest chance of winning the 50% scholarship. I know it's hard. I actually was with the director of our camp at Rocky this morning, and I gave it to her, and she couldn't get it either. But okay, blank is the closest guess I have so far, so I need a little bit more. Come on. 1, 2, 12, everybody. Going once. God, you gotta say something. Children, that's okay, it's better than blank. Going once.
What about Jesus?
Okay, that's a good guess. But I said you don't count. Going once, going twice, three times, sold. Children, who said children? Okay, you get it. Okay, what 1, 2, 12 everybody means is that at Sundry, at the Pioneer Lodge, we have one-week camps for kids grades 2 to 12 and family camp for everybody. So we have 2,000 acres just outside of Sundry. We have 40 horses, and it is a significant time for children to encounter Jesus in a fabulous setting. So I want to encourage you to send your children, send your grandchildren. And we have a contest, a national contest, where if you go online, we have one of four one-week free prizes. It's actually very hard to say. We have four one-week free at camp. I don't even know how to say it. Anyway, we have four prizes of 1 week at camp you could win, and the grand prize is a trip to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, for two. And just for going online, if you register your child and they've never been to camp before, there's an automatic 20% off if you go online. So I'm going to have some of these at the back, and I have some brochures with me. I'd love to chat with you about our camp. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thank you, Ruth. As I mentioned, Ruth will be here during our coffee time, so if you'd like to talk to her some more. I actually knew the answer to that, but I wanted Bill to have some place to go this summer, so I let him get close. Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. And now thanks to Ruth. I like the answer where somebody said Jesus. Because I came across an illustration when I was doing the research, and there was a pastor, and he described in great detail a squirrel. He didn't say what it was, and he asked the kids if they knew what it was. And one kid put his hand up and he says, the answer's probably Jesus, but it sounds awfully like a squirrel to me. So that was a good answer. Good answer. And don't forget The Yaha Tinder weekend, and looking for someone to organise things here. He didn't tell you he's going to Australia. That's where...
I'm taking Vicky with me.
Well, I was going to say, that's where my country sends all the criminals.
You may be out.
Great to be here. Good company, good fellowship. Praise the Lord. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Our call to worship this morning is taken from St. John chapter 15, verses 7 to 8. And in the words of Jesus, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." We worship the Lord with our approach choruses, and I much appreciate Kathy coming up and leading us in said choruses. Oh, I also meant to mention, thanks to Pat for coming here and playing the whole service for us today. Peggy wasn't able to be here, and Pat just steps right in and takes over. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, well, worship the Lord, starting with Majesty. Please stand. Again, Majesty, worship him.
his throne, unto his own, his anthems raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Well, that's the way to get going. Now we're all breathing nice and deeply. We're going to sing We Bow Down.
You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords you will be. We are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. King of all kings you will be.
These are great worship songs. And to prepare our hearts for worship, we're going to sing Bind Us Together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together in love. There is only one God, there is only one King, there is only one body.
Thank you, Cathy. Good singing, great introduction to our worship this morning. The theme of the worship today, you'll find when we get to the gospel reading, is where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And hence that last chorus that we sang there, bind us together, Lord. We tend to think in that in terms of the Lord binding all of us together. Broaden it out, much bigger. Think in terms of the Lord binding us together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're starting to get the real context of what that chorus is about. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father, we just give you thanks. We thank you that we have come into this, your house this day, and immediately we are surrounded by your love. We feel the warmth, we feel the grace, we feel the fellowship, and above all, Lord, we feel the holiness of your gracious presence. We thank you, Father, that you have called each of us, that you have given to us this joy, this great privilege of coming together in your house on this your day. And in this time of worship, Lord, we pray that you will bind us together, one with another, but above all, one with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us, Father, as we worship you. We ask you to accept the praise we bring. And we ask you, Holy Father, to open our hearts, to open our minds. And we ask, Lord, that each of us may hear your voice this morning. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship and praise you in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Join me now in the responsive reading, which comes from Psalm chapter 22, 25 to 31. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
They will proclaim his righteousness. Declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
That psalm that we just read there for the responsive reading, Psalm 22, you will recall that when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And a lot of people have kind of looked at those words and wondered about them. Why was Jesus saying that God had forsaken him? And actually, those words that Jesus spoke are the opening verse of Psalm 22. And Jesus was quoting this psalm, And what we read there is more in reality what this psalm is about. It's a great psalm of praise and relying on God, you know, on God's grace and presence. And Jesus was speaking the opening words to that psalm. He wasn't saying that God had forsaken him. It was quite the opposite to that. He was actually saying that God was with him and he was praising God. And they were the opening words to Psalm 22 that Jesus quoted on the cross. But you already knew that, didn't you? Our special music this morning, very special. Our friend Bob Bergeson, who practices relentlessly on his musical instrument, is going to present special music for us today. And God has made the weather good because God is going to, Bob is going to play for us in the garden, I believe, unless he's changed his mind. Is that right, Bob? There you go. Thank you.
Good morning.
Big thank you to Bob. That's all that practicing pays off, Bob. Good job. Thank you. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Father, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers. For we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Well, it's nice to see everyone here. All dressed up nicely as well here. When I came in, I thought, am I doing a wedding today? Beautiful. All dressed up nicely. Now then, first up, I want to ask you. You'll never guess what's on the other side of this sheet of paper.
A happy face.
How did you know that? So you have. A happy face. Wow. What happens when you turn a happy face upside down? Really? Is that right? How can you tell? Yeah, when you turn a smile upside down, it becomes a frown, doesn't it? It becomes a grumpy face. We want happy faces. Now then, I want you to give me your very best happy face. Okay. Let's change places. I'll sit there and you all go up there. Some go on this side and some go on this side. Go on, off you go. And I'll sit down here. Up on the platform. Right, everybody set? Now then, those happy faces that you did for me there, they were great. And I want you to do them so that everybody in the congregation can see them. So your best happy face right now. Excellent. Okay, switch them off. Stay there. Nope, not done yet. Stay there. Now then, I talked about when you turn a happy face upside down, it becomes a frown. It becomes a grumpy face. I want you to give me your very worst grumpy face. Wow, that's enough. They were awful. They were absolutely awful. Wow. Now then, those faces that I asked you to do a happy face and I asked you to do a grumpy face. Which one was the easiest to do? The happy face, wasn't it? Yep. And people who study these things, they tell us that it's much easier to do a smile than it is to do a frown. We use more muscles in our face when we try to put a grumpy face on. So a happy face is much easier. Now then, when you all did that happy face, what happened to the faces of everybody in the congregation? They all had a happy face on, didn't they? So when you do a happy face, it shines out from you and it reflects in everybody else. They have a happy face as well. So what's the best face to have on? A happy face. And when Jesus says that you are the light of the world and he is the vine and you are the branches, what he's talking about is that you work for Jesus in the world. And Jesus' job is to bring happiness and love in the world. And how do we do that? With a happy face or a grumpy?
A happy face.
Great. So let's have another happy face. Perfect. Now let's say a little prayer together. Lord Jesus, by your wonderful love, you make us happy. Help us to play our part in making everyone else happy. We pray in your name and for your sake. Amen. Kathy, I'm done. Over to you.
Christ came in and freed my heart from sin. I'm in right, upright, upright, down.
Thank you, Kathy. Keep your happy face on. We're going to stand and sing to the glory of God the hymn 286, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, 286. Come to our time of prayer. And if I were to ask you the question, does anybody here need prayer? I would expect every hand to go up, because each and every one of us are in need of prayer. And the Lord is aware of that, and the Lord stands by awaiting our prayers. We pray frequently, hopefully, for other people, because the Lord puts people in our hearts and in our minds, and we think about them, we care about them, we love them, and we pray for them. But what about yourself? Do you pray for yourself? What about when things crop up in your daily lives, you know, and sometimes it's a problem, sometimes it's a blessing? And we sing, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do we always do that? Because if something sits on your mind, the moment that you take it to the Lord in prayer, then whatever it is light, becomes so much lighter. And you feel that. In this week ahead, Iris and I need your prayers. We're looking after our grandchildren for the week. We're praying for ourselves. But on a more serious note, there are a lot more people who are in great need of your prayers. And so shall we now just bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this quiet time of worship, this time of prayer here in our sanctuary of worship and rest. And each of us, Lord, we have all in our different ways had a busy week, dealing with our homes, dealing with our families, dealing with our jobs, dealing with our various responsibilities, just dealing with life. And we are thankful, Holy Father, that we are attached to you as branches to the vine, that we can draw upon the mighty strength and the resources that you provide for us. And we ask you to fill us now, Lord, with your holy presence. May we feel the peace of your Spirit upon us, surrounding us and enveloping us with that wonderful feeling of safety and well-being as our souls rest in you. And because we are attached to you, Holy Father, you know us, you know our needs, you know where we are weak, you know our strengths. And you know, Holy Father, how we can be the best servants to your kingdom, where we may bear much fruit. And so we ask you, Holy Father, to open our minds, open our hearts, that we may be receptive to your words, to your guidance, and to your inspiration. We thank you now, Lord, for the many ways that you enrich our lives. We thank you for our church family, for our homes, and for our own families. And as we think, Lord, about our church family, we are conscious of those who are missing today from our worship service. We can look around, Lord, and we can see where they usually sit. And we can try to start to think, Lord, how much they miss not being here. Wherever they be, Holy Father, whatever their circumstances may be, we pray for them. And in the silence of our hearts, we lift them up to you. As we lift up to you, Lord, all of those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for, those who may be sick in body, mind, or spirit, those who may be facing difficult circumstances of life, those who are separated from those they love for various reasons. Here and now, Lord, in the silence of our hearts, we present them and whisper their names before your throne of grace. We pray in silence. Wherever they may be, gracious Father, whatever their circumstances may be at this time, we pray that they may feel that they are touched by the grace of your holy presence, granting to them and fulfilling their needs. Father, in the week ahead, we pray that we may bear much fruit for your kingdom as we seek to proclaim our Savior Jesus in our lives. We hope and pray, Lord, that all that we say and all that we do may be to the great honor and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we may know of your presence with us at all times. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And so we listen now to the word of the Lord.
The gospel this morning comes from John 15, verses 1 to 8, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And the epistle this morning is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Thanks to Dan for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory the hymn 502, In Heavenly Love Abiding. And for those of you who like to follow the tune, you will find it at the hymn 369. So we stand and sing to God's glory, In Heavenly Love Abiding. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's not what you know. What comes next? But who you know. It's not what you know, but who you know that makes the difference. A saying that we have all frequently found to be true. In this modern competitive world in which we live, it's often difficult for people to find a job. But hey, if you know the right people, if you've got the right connections, then finding the job becomes easier. This applies to lots of things in life. You know, you're buying a major purchase, and if you've got the right connections, get the right discounts, get the right price. But it's easy for us to see how difficult it is for people who are not connected. We can see that because that applies to most of us, isn't it? We don't know the right people, so we don't get all the best deals and we don't get all the best jobs. And it's no use fighting it because that's the way things are in this world. It pays to be connected. About 30 years ago, there was a wonderful book written by a man named Thomas Keneally. And it was interesting how this book that he wrote came about. One day, a shopkeeper named Leopold Page, who was a survivor of the Jewish Holocaust, had the novelist Thomas Keneally come into his shop one day to buy a briefcase. And Leopold Page, the shopkeeper, had survived the Holocaust through the efforts of one man who was a Roman Catholic, and you'll know his name. It was Oskar Schindler. Oskar Schindler, who saved not only Thomas Keneally's life, but Leopold Page's life, but the lives of 900 Jews. And Leopold Page was determined to have the story of Oskar Schindler written for all to know. And so he told this story to the novelist Thomas Keneally. And he subsequently wrote his book called Schindler's Ark. Schindler's Ark, the true life story of Oskar Schindler's work to save as many Jewish people from the Holocaust as he could. But that's not the end of the story. Leopold Page, the zealous and persistent shopkeeper, had some friends who had some friends who knew some people who were connected to some people who were able to bring this book to the attention of a movie director named Steven Spielberg. And Steven Spielberg had only recently completed his movie, Jurassic Park. And when shopkeeper Leopold Page met movie maker Spielberg, he said to him, "Stop playing around with dinosaurs. I promise you, you'll get an Oscar for telling Oscar's story." And he did, of course. Steven Spielberg turned Schindler's Ark into Schindler's List, a movie which won 7 Oscars. And all of this more than fulfilled Leopold Page's lifelong promise. He said, "I did not know how I would do this, but I promised Oskar Schindler I would make him a household name." And he did. This is a man who was part of that Holocaust that went on. You could say a man who had no connections, didn't know all the right people, but he worked at it. And by the way, Leopold, or Paul Page, was number 173 on Schindler's list of 900 people, the 900 who were saved. He was a shopkeeper, not a writer, not a movie maker. But his commitment to his friend led him to make the right connections with people who could make his dream a reality. It's important in life to have connections. If you do not have connections, then get busy and make some. So, question, how connected are you? How connected are you? And of course, when you ask this question today, it means something entirely different to the younger generation. This is a brave new world, and being connected has a whole new meaning. We have Facebook, and we have Twitter, and we have tweeting, and we have YouTube and blogging and binging and MySpace and all the rest of these thingamy tweety whatsits, whatever you might want to call them. And when I look at all this kind of stuff, I ask myself the question, I'm not sure if I am connected. I'm not sure if I want to be connected. One woman said that their brand new high-speed computer was in the shop, having some other new super-duper program added, and they were having to use their old computer. Mom, the son whined, using this thing is like being back in the 20th century. Back in the 20th century. Now, there is a reality check for you. The teacher was asking the kids questions. What kind of a sound does a cow make? Moo. What kind of a sound does a cat make? Meow. What kind of a sound does a mouse make? Click. Click. The computer mouse does go click. The question, are you connected, means different things to different people. And despite all of the hype about being connected through the internet, when you look around you, you can see lots of instances where technology is actually disconnecting many people around us. People are oblivious to the other people all around them. People may believe themselves to be connected, but in reality, they are almost totally and often rudely disconnected from the real flesh and blood people all around them. I put this picture on the board for you because sometime recently, Iris and I were in Swiss Chalet, and there was a family of four people sitting around one of the tables opposite, and they were all doing this. Now, maybe they were communicating with each other, I don't know. But there was no conversation. There was no connection. And this is a family sitting around the table, you know. So being Facebook, many will claim they've got lots of friends on Facebook. But friending is nowhere near effective as befriending, of being a friend. And being connected online can and does distract and disconnect people from each other. We are becoming a disconnected society, and those who suffer the most from this disconnected society are those who have the greatest needs, those who are in need, those whom Christ came to reach out to and to serve. We see people all around us who are disconnected from reality. They may well be connected to the cyber world, but they are losing contact with the real world. We lose our heart when we lose our soul. And when we lose our soul, it is when we lose our connection to God. What good is it, Jesus said, for someone to gain the whole world if they forfeit their soul? Lose your connection to God and nothing else that you accomplish will have any real meaning. Lose your connection to God and you lose the meaning of life. It is why we were created, to worship our Creator. Back during the days of the Cold War, a lady named Svetlana Stalin, and I'm sure you recognize the name, the only daughter of the former cruel Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, she shocked the world by immigrating to the USA to seek a new life. She explained her change of allegiance this way. She said, I found it was impossible to exist without God in one's heart. Impossible to exist without God in one's heart. And she was right. It is impossible to exist as a full human being without God in one's heart. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. You might have life and have it to the full. How is your life? How is your connection to Christ? Radio Bible teacher J. Vernon McGee tells of a piece of wood that he keeps on his desk. And he says he picked it up in a vineyard in California. And it was a section of vineyard out of which grew a little branch at one time when it was alive. And the owner of the vineyard told him that if two people were to have a tug of war with this piece of vine, it would break. But it would never break at that point where the vine and the branch are joined together. He said that is the vine's strongest point, where the vine and the branch are joined together. And he also went on to say that a regular tree will always break at that point. That is the weak point, but not the vine. So can you start to see where Jesus is coming from when he uses this analogy and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, you and I are joined at the strongest possible point, the last place that will break. And that's where we are joined to Christ our Saviour. Stay connected to me, Jesus says, and you will be strong. You will have life in abundance. You will enjoy life. And you will bear much fruit. Author Max Lucado tells about a friend of his named Steve, who worked at a pharmacy whilst he attended college. And Steve's primary job was to deliver supplies to his customers. Now, one of his customers was an elderly lady in her 70s. And she lived alone in a small apartment block in a building which was only about 50 feet behind the pharmacy. And twice a week, Steve would deliver to this elderly lady a jug of water. He would install it, he would receive payment, thank the lady and leave. He was puzzled by this. She could have just used the municipal water. In fact, it would have been significantly cheaper for her. The municipal water was good water. It was clean, it was tested, it passed everything. It was fine, nothing wrong with it. Why didn't she use the less expensive source? And you've probably worked out the answer already for yourselves. The municipality only sent water. They did not send a person. His visits were the reason that she was willing to pay for the more expensive water. He was a person, a real person, whom she saw twice a week. Are there people in your community who are that lonely? Of course there are. There are children, there are teenagers, there are adults, there are seniors who have somehow become disconnected. And isn't it interesting that when God wanted to save the world, when he wanted to save his people, he sent a person. He sent his son. And today, in this world of cyber communications, God still doesn't send texts. He still sends people. He sends people. And it is through his son who reaches out through his people that he touches the lives of people who are disconnected in life. A newspaper reporter once went to interview a very successful entrepreneur. How did you do it? He asked. I'm glad you asked me, the rich man replied, because it's quite a wonderful story. He says, you see, when my wife and I married, we started out with a roof over our heads, we had some food in the pantry, and we had 5 cents between us. And he says, I took that nickel and I went down to the grocery store and I bought an apple. And I shined it up and I sold it for 10 cents. Then what did you do? The reporter asks. He says, well, he says, I went to the store and I bought 2 more apples. And I shined them up. And I sold them for 20 cents. And the reporter thought, this is going to be a great human interest story. Then what, he asked excitedly. Then the man said, my father-in-law died and left us $20 million. That was a man who prospered because of his connections. Jesus says, if you want life, if you want to find life, and if you want to have life in abundance, he says, be connected to me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And where you and I are connected, it's like the strongest place on the vine, the toughest place for anyone to break. We will never be happy. We will never be peaceful and contented if we live apart from the one who created us, from the one who loves us, to the one who continually reaches out to us. We were made to live in close fellowship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And nothing, nothing in this life can take the place of that. Are you connected? Thanks be to God. Amen. We stand and we sing to the glory of God our closing hymns. And first of all, that great old hymn 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Beacon in this darkness that surrounds us.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.